This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي، آمين يا رب العالمين. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، والله أكبر. الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الله أكبر وأجل، الله أكبر على ما هدانا. Alhamdulillah, on this blessed day, the day of Arafah, as we proclaim the glory of Allah Azza wa Jal and we beg Him for the forgiveness of our sins, and knowing that this day is the day on which we are supposed to make du'as, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the best du'a is the day of Arafah. Yani, you can make du'a at any other time of the year, but the du'a that you make on this day is unlike the du'a on any other day. So throughout this day, we should be calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we make du'a to Allah, let us reflect on not only our wishes and the things that we want, the things that we desire. Of course, we should be praying for our akhirah. But among the things that we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for is to help us mend our relationships. Because our relationships are such that they impact not only our mood, our disposition, our behavior, our words, our actions, but also our thoughts and our behavior patterns. And, you may have experienced this, that when you have a good relationship with someone, you are happier and you feel more at peace. And because you are more at peace, you are able to work more easily, you are more productive, you are more focused. But when your relationships are negative, when they're a source of toxicity, when they're a source of pain and constant trouble, then this is something that doesn't let you do anything properly. It doesn't let you even worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. So today's topic is about relationships. And this is something that is relevant to every single person. You see, when it comes to relationships, people who deserve the best treatment from us are the people who are not only closest to us, but the people who have done us the most favor. And the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to be good towards. And these people are none other than our parents. So when we're talking about relationships, we're going to begin this topic by talking about the good treatment of parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ahqaf, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. And we have enjoined upon man to his parents good treatment. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. His mother carried him with hardship and gave birth to him with hardship. وَفِصَالُهُ 30 شَهْرًا. And the hardship doesn't end there. His gestation and weaning period is 30 months. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ 40 سَنَةً. Until he grows, until when he reaches maturity and reaches the age of 40 years, قَالَ, he says, ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي. My Lord, enable me to be grateful for your favor which you have bestowed upon me وعلى والدي and upon my parents وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه. And enable me to do those good deeds, to work righteousness of which you will approve. وأصلح لي في ذريتي, and make righteous for me my offspring. إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. Indeed, I have repented to you, and indeed, I am of the Muslims. So we see that in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He has enjoined upon insan, and insan includes every single person, all of us, regardless of, you know, where we were born, how we were raised, whether or not our parents were very involved, what kind of, you know, parenting style they had. That is not relevant. What matters is that as a human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you that you treat your parents in a good way. Why? Simply because of the fact that your mother gave birth to you. And she didn't just give birth to you. She carried you for so long. And carrying you was incredibly hard on her in so many different ways. And then giving birth is incredibly hard. And then it doesn't end there. She has to continue to take care of the baby. And this entire time, and it takes so long. It takes the youth of her life. And so often it happens that a woman, you know, she's giving birth to one child, taking care of one child, and then another child comes along, and then another child comes along, and her entire youth is gone in what? In taking care of her children. So many men have to put their dreams on hold. They have to put their education on hold sometimes. They have to put their career growth on hold. Why? For the sake of their children. So the sacrifices that parents make for their children are appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over here that we have to be good to our parents. And He teaches us a very beautiful dua in which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to show gratitude for the blessings which he has bestowed on us and the blessings which He has also bestowed on our parents. And we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ability to do those deeds which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. And then another important part of this dua is that we're asking Allah, wa aslih li fi dhurriyyati, that, oh Allah, make righteous for me my offspring. Because at an age when, you know, you have become an adult, you have your own children, you have your own family, and, you know, your own children begin to show some kind of attitude to you, they become difficult to deal with. You know, you wonder, is this the result of my bad treatment of my parents? Am I being, you know, made to experience what I, you know, the same pain that I caused to my parents? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, don't allow this pattern to continue. I repent to you. I seek forgiveness from you for the wrong I have done. You make my children righteous for me. So it's a beautiful dua that we should be making regularly. And it in this ayah, we learn about how important it is for us to you know, be not only considerate of our parents, but to treat them well. In a hadith, the first hadith we're looking at today, in this hadith, we learn that a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that ayyul a'mali afdal, that which deeds are the best. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "As-salatu liwaqtiha," prayer at its proper time. And then "wabirru al-walidain," and then to be good and dutiful to one's parents, and then "summa al-jihadu fi sabilillah," and then to participate in jihad in the cause of Allah. When we look at the Quran, we see so often the right of Allah is mentioned, the fact that we should worship only Allah. And then the right of the parents is mentioned. And in this hadith also, you can see the sequence that first it is the right of Allah, as-salatu liwaqtiha, then birrul walidain, then being good to one's parents, and then jihad in the way of Allah. So this is the correct order. You see, first comes the right of Allah, and then of the rights of people, the people who deserve the best from us are our parents. And then comes jihad, then other good deeds. You see, sometimes people think that, you know, I am volunteering in, you know, in the cause of Allah. I am, you know, working for the religion of Allah. You know, I try my best to be a good person. You know, I feed others. I give charity. I am very good to my, you know, co-workers. I'm a very good, you know, citizen, etc. All of that is great. It's excellent. However, the right sequence is that first you give the right of your parents and then you think about other people. Why? Because if a person skips a step, all right, and tries to, you know, go to the next step after that, then there is, you know, a very, you know, high chance that they're going to stumble, they're going to hurt themselves. And so it does not make sense that a person is, you know, really good with people, you know, around them, but the people at home, the people who have done the most favor to you, your own parents, then a person is ignoring them. That does not make any sense. So the correct sequence is the right of Allah, the right of the parents, and then service to humanity. Then you think about other people as well. Now, the question is that in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned birrul walidain. What exactly is birrul walidain? You see, bir is to do good, all right? And birrul walidain is kind, is good treatment of parents. And good treatment of parents means that not only are you, you know, good to them in the way that you deal with them, but that also you go out of your way to help them, to please them, you know, to make their life easy for them, to be of benefit to them, and to not disobey them, and to not hurt them. So birrul walidain includes both things. On the one hand, you do something to be good to them. And on the other hand, you refrain from harming them. You refrain from hurting them. And the ulama say that أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بَعْدَ الْخَالِقِ, that that of the people, those who deserve the most from you, of course, after the right of the creation, after the right of the creator, are who? It is your parents. It is your parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has joined the kind treatment of parents with his worship. Yani both of these come together in so many places in the Quran. And when it comes to, you know, being good to your parents, you can do this in the way of making du'as for them, giving sadaqah on their behalf, you know, doing something to make them happy, keeping in touch with them, giving them gifts, you know, talking to them, spending time with them, listening to them, and then also showing importance to their friends, showing importance to what they like. Among the other things that the ulama have said is that you should not walk in front of them, and that you know, for example, if they're sick, if they're ill, then you take care of them, and you help them, you know, find the right treatment, and you know that you show them physically as well, any with your posture, you know, that you show that you have respect for them, that you love them, that you value them. Any, do not stand arrogantly in front of your parents. And this is even if your parents are not Muslim. Even then, being good to parents is mandatory. It is essential. And on the other hand, we learned that uququl walidain is something that is regarded as a major sin. What is uququl walidain? Uququl walidain is to do anything that hurts and displeases the parents. This could hurt them, you know, physically or emotionally. It could be done through something that a person does once in a while or does habitually. Yani, you know, for example, sometimes people will not care about what bothers their parents. They will continue to use, you know, language, words that upset their parents. They will continue to use, you know, expressions that annoy their parents. And it hurts the mother, it hurts the father to hear their grown adult child use, you know, disrespectful words. Yes, you're not hurting them physically, but you're hurting them emotionally. You're hurting them, you know, you're hurting their feelings. So uquq is not just in the form of, you know, physically assaulting the parents or being physically abusive to the parents. There's also verbal abuse in this, or any kind of action that hurts them, that annoys them, that bothers them, that is very displeasing to them. And when it comes to, you know, kind treatment of parents, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a covenant from the Bani Israel that لا تعبدون إلا الله, that you will not worship anyone but Allah, and that you will be good to your parents. So imagine, from the Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a covenant that you are going to be good to your parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship Allah, do not associate any partners with Him, and do good to your parents. And we see that it is prophetic behavior, all right? It is prophetic character to treat one's parents with honor and dignity and kindness. We learn about Yahya alayhi salam. He's described in the Quran as وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارٌ عَصِيًّا, that he was good, kind to his parents, and he was not a disobedient tyrant. About Isa alayhi salam, we learn in the Quran وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي, that he said that I am kind, I am good to my mother. And out of the, you know, two parents, of course, the right of the mother is greater, and that is something that is well known. And we also learn about, you know, an incident where a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permission to participate in jihad, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, is your mother alive? And the man said yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to go back to her and be good to her, take care of her. So what happened? The man, he did not go actually. He came again to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, from another direction, pretending to be another person. Because you can imagine, one person after another is approaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the man came again and asked that, I want to go for jihad with you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is your mother alive? The man said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go to her and take care of her, be good to her. And the man tried again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the same response, and he said, ilzam rijlaha fa thamma al-jannah. He said, adhere to her feet, yani stick by her side, take care of her, you know, fulfill every need of hers, do not leave her alone, fa thamma al-jannah, and there you will find Jannah. And you think Jannah is only in you know, going out of your way, sacrificing your life, you know, participating in battle. You think Jannah is only obtained through doing big things, and taking care of your mother is not a big thing? It is a big thing. You see, we learn about Uwais al-Qarni, you know, how he was, you know, he had, his mother was extremely old, and he wanted to come be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he was not able to go to him because he had an elderly mother to take care of. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the companions that when you see him, ask him to make dua for you. And he, the only way of seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval is not just by doing jihad. It is also by being good to your parents, whether they are Muslim or not, and whether they treat you good or not. You see, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised Asma radiallahu anha to be good to her mushrik mother, okay, a woman who associated partners with Allah, and that we know is the greatest sin. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that you should be good to your mother. Then how can we justify treating those parents poorly who believe in Allah, who worship only Allah? And yes, because they are human, they're not perfect, they've made their mistakes, okay, towards us, or, you know, they have fallen short in their duty to us, or we feel like they're very toxic, very negative to be around. Yani, how can we justify that? We cannot justify that. Now, of the rights of the parents, remember, is that you speak to them in a nice, respectful way, such that you don't even say oof to them. Of the rights of the parents is that you serve your parents, meaning you do something to take care of them. And this is not just for women, that women should, you know, girls should take care of their mothers and help them around the house. Even men should take care of their mothers and help them around the house. It doesn't make you any less of a man if you take that heavy pot from your mother and wash it. It doesn't make you any less of a man if you take the broom from your mother and you clean the floor of the house. It doesn't make you any less of a man if you put cream oil on your mother's feet. It doesn't diminish your manhood. It doesn't diminish that. It only makes you a better person near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is necessary that you serve your parents. You take care of them. And taking care of them doesn't just mean that you have them live in your house and you assign your wife that you do everything for my parents and I pay the bills and that's it. No, taking care of your parents means that you actually do something for your parents. And part of, you know, the rights of the parents is that you don't even look at them angrily. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that whoever looks at his parents angrily, then such a person has done uquq, and he has hurt his parents. So this is also wrong. So often it happens that, you know, if there is a disagreement, there's an argument, the way that people will roll their eyes at their mothers, you know, in front of their fathers, the way that they will talk about their parents, talk to their parents angrily as if they're talking about little children or friends. This is extremely disrespectful. Abdullah ibn Abbas said that come before your parents, be with your parents as if you are a slave. Yani, that difference should be visible. That you are the child, they are the parents. And unfortunately, these days, it's the complete opposite. Where children rule, all right, they treat their parents as if their parents were their servants. And this is extremely disrespectful. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu also said that do not dust your clothes in front of your parents. Why? Because when you will dust your clothes in front of your parents, what's going to happen? The dust or, you know, the draft, you know, it's going to bother them. So don't do anything to show disrespect to them. And of course, when it comes to things which are impermissible, if your parents expect you to do that, to do something that is wrong, you will not obey them in that matter. Because this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told us about. That basically, obedience to the Creator comes before obedience to the creation, right? Obedience to the Creator will always be given preference over obedience to the creation. But you can still be respectful towards your parents. You can disagree with them without raising your voice. You can refuse to do something wrong without frowning, without glaring, without, you know, using rude words, without using disrespectful words. And this is something that we all need to learn. And we all need to practice. It is not possible that you always get along with your parents, that you will always, you know, have the same opinion. You will always agree with them. It's not possible. You are your own person. They are their own people. Each person has the right to think independently, right? And so you may have your own opinions, but you can still be respectful with your parents. And don't justify rude behavior with the fact that they are rude to you, or that they are yelling at you, or that they are raising your voice at you. Their deeds are for them, your deeds are for you. You are answerable to Allah in regard to how you treat your parents. So you see, good character is not that you treat others good when they are good to you. Good character is that you treat others good regardless of how they are with you. Because reciprocation, yani, that is the bare minimum, all right? That is the bare minimum. If you don't reciprocate the good behavior, then what kind of a person are you? So what is required is that whether your parents are respectful to you or not, you are respectful to them. Part of, you know, the rights of parents is that, you know, when you do something to them, when you do something for them, you know, you do it happily, and you don't make them feel burdened. All right. And we should also be careful that we don't make our parents cry by the choices that we're making, by the things we're doing, by the things we're saying, by the way that we're behaving. And we should not make our parents cry. Also, if, you know, parents make a mistake, and they definitely make mistakes, they will make mistakes because they're not perfect. When they do make mistakes, don't embarrass them, don't humiliate them, and don't, you know, spread their mistakes, you know, among people. A lot of people have this bad habit that, especially young people, wherever they will sit, they will complain about their mother. They will complain about their father. My dad is like this. He wants me to do this. He's like that. He says this. You know, my mother is like, stop complaining about your parents. Stop backbiting your parents. Yani, this is great injustice. Again, you can disagree with them, but that does not mean that you have the right to humiliate them. Now, if parents have passed away, then of their rights is that you make dua for them, you seek forgiveness for them, and that you continue to give sadaqah on their behalf. If they have fasts that they did not keep, missed fasts that need to be made up, then you make them up on their behalf. If they were intending to perform hajj, they were not able to, then you perform hajj on their behalf. If they made, you know, a pledge, a nadr, then you fulfill that on their behalf. And when you treat your parents good, when you show respect to your parents, then you get many benefits, not only in this life, but also in the next life. We learned the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever loves that his life term should be extended and that his provision should be increased, that he should be good to his parents. فَلْيَبَرَّ وَالِدَيْهِ وَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ, and he should join ties of kinship. And if a person is good to their parents, then this is a means of forgiveness of major sins as well. We learn in a narration about how a man came to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and he mentioned that, you know, he had committed a major sin. He had committed murder, basically. And he was asking, you know, that what should I do? Is there any chance of repentance for me? Ibn Abbas asked him, is your mother alive? The man said, no. So Ibn Abbas told him that, okay, just make tawbah to Allah and do the best that you can. Keep increasing in your good deeds. So Ata ibn Yasar, who was there, he asked the Prophet, he asked Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that why did you ask him if his mother was alive? Ibn Abbas replied that I do not know of any other good deed which draws a person closer to Allah than kind treatment of the mother. And if you treat your mother well, if you're good to your mother, then this is a good deed that draws you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the understanding of the companions. And we also learn about how if a person is good to their parents, then this is a means of entry into paradise. We learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was made to hear the recitation of a reciter in Jannah, yani someone is reciting Quran in Jannah. And, you know, he was told that this was Haritha ibn Nu'man, radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's first response was, when he heard that it was Haritha, he said, kadhaka albir, kadhaka albir. This is righteousness, this is piety. And it was mentioned that Haritha ibn Nu'man was abarra nasi bi ummihi. He was the best of all people to his mother. And it was well known that he treated his mother in a really good way. And he was the best of all people when it came to kind treatment of parents. So the Prophet ﷺ attributed Haritha radiallahu anhu's presence in Jannah with what? With his kind treatment of his mother. When it comes to disobedience of parents and hurting them, remember, this is something haram. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Allaha harrama alaykum." Indeed, Allah has forbidden on you, made haram on you. Haram is a very strong word. It's a very powerful word. We don't use this word casually. The Prophet ﷺ is using this word over here, and he says, "Inna Allah harrama alaykum uquq al-ummahat." Allah has forbidden on you the disobedience to your mothers. And you do not disobey your mothers. And it is a major sin to disobey one's parents. And we also learn about how the Prophet ﷺ said that there are three people from whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept their obligatory worship nor voluntary worship. And who are they? First of all, Mannan. Mannan is a person who continues to remind others of the favors that they have done them. Continues to do so. And he did the favor once, but reminded 70 times. Okay. Then Mukadhib bil Qadr, the person who denies divine decree. And then also Aq, a person who disobeys his parents and treats them harshly, poorly. And remember that upsetting the father is also a big deal. Cursing the parents is also something that is of the major sins near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that when it comes to our behavior with our parents, there's three possibilities. One is that we are, treating them well. We are being good to them. Bir. All right. One is that a person is good to their parents. The other is that a person hurts their parents, all right, disobeys them, is rude and harsh with them. And the third is that a person ignores their parents, cuts off from them, or even if, they're around, they live in the same house, they don't really interact much. They basically don't care about their parents. That is also wrong, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not asked us to be neutral with our parents, to just be neutral and do nothing, say nothing. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to be good to our parents. And the absence of good behavior, the absence of kind treatment is also wrong. Of the du'as that we can make for our parents is, of course, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Also, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ. Oh my Lord, forgive me and forgive my parents. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ. Oh our Lord, forgive me, forgive my parents. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya wa an a'mala salihan tardah wa adkhilni bi rahmatika fi ibadika as-salihin. Many du'as we can make for our parents, and this is something that we should be doing, especially on this blessed day. The second hadith we're looking at is in regard to joining ties of kinship, because this is also one of the best deeds. We learn in a hadith that a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that which deed is most beloved to Allah. Ayyul a'mali ahabbu ila Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to believe in Allah. The man asked, O Messenger of Allah, then what? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, silatul rahim, to join ties of kinship. Now you might wonder, earlier it was mentioned that the best deed is that you are good to your parents after believing in Allah. And after giving the right of Allah. And here, ties of kinship are mentioned. Yes, because being good to your parents is part of, joining ties of kinship. Now, silatul rahim. Sila means to join. And rahim is womb, meaning the ties, the bonds, the relationship that you have with people through the womb. So this is your blood relationships. Okay, so joining ties of kinship, what does that mean? Joining them means that that when they're broken, you mend them. Okay, meaning when those bonds of relationship are severed because of some past argument, some past mistake on the part of, or injustice on the part of one, when those ties of kinship are broken, Silatul Rahim is that you join those ties of kinship, okay? You mend that relationship. And then Silatul Rahim also includes that you recognize who your relatives are. And if you don't know who your relatives are, how are you joining ties with them, right? So the first step is that you recognize them, you know them, okay? And then if there's any problem, any fight, anything, you know, you overcome that and you mend that relationship. And then Silatul Rahim also includes that you continue to maintain that relationship. How do you maintain that relationship? By staying in touch, by being good to one another, and by protecting each other from any harm that you could possibly cause them. So there's different ways of being good to your relatives. You can be good to them by spending your money on fulfilling their needs, helping them in their time of difficulty. Whenever you meet them happily. You make dua for them. You actually make a point that you meet them. You send gifts to them. Whenever you meet them, you are kind towards them. You don't act like a stranger. You don't act harshly. Rather, you show respect. And anything that is, in your culture, that shows good treatment of relatives, you participate in such things as long as they are permissible. When it comes to, the rights of relatives and maintaining ties with them, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions several times in the Quran. In Surah Ar-Ra'd, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلُ. Those people who join what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that it be joined. And part of that is ties of kinship. And then other righteous good deeds are mentioned of this group of people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ. These are the people who will have the good consequence in the home, meaning in the real home, in the home of paradise. This is where they will be. Also remember that when it comes to your relatives, people who are related to you through blood, they are most deserving of you. And you have your friends, okay? And these friends may be through the masjid, through your work, through something related to the deen, all right? You may have, close bonds with such people, a very strong connection, a strong friendship with them. But remember that the rights of the relatives are more important. And your relatives deserve more from you than your friends do. And this is so unfortunate, these days, if people find themselves disagreeing with their family, with their siblings, with their parents, with their aunts, uncles, even their grandparents, they will cut off from them. Literally, they will cut them off. They will not see them, will not talk to them. They will pretend like they don't exist. They do not keep in touch with them. And they say that they have a chosen family, right? These are people whom they have chosen to be around them. And these are basically people who feed their ego, people who wholeheartedly support them regardless of what they're doing. You see, your family is very honest with you. Very, very honest with you. Sometimes, yes, they cut off from you, and that is unfair. But there are times when your family will not support you in your choices because they believe that what you're doing is wrong. And it's necessary to allow such voices to exist in your life. Whether such voices are right or wrong, that's a different issue. But to allow someone to disagree with you and then to tolerate them, this is so good to discipline your ego. So good. Otherwise, we will become so arrogant, we will become so full of ourselves, and then we will stop at no limit. So, relatives, especially those who are closest to us, like our parents, our siblings, when they disagree with us, and yet we have to be good with them, yet we have to, spend time with them, this is very hard on the nafs, but it is also excellent for the nafs. It's very, very good to tame, to discipline the nafs. And we also learned that when a person is good to their relatives, then this is something that increases their wealth, that also increases their life term. The third hadith we're looking at is about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to be good to people at home, and especially your family, the people that you're living with. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best of you is he who is best to his family. خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي And I am the best among you to my family. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said this, that I am the best among you to my family, he's not boasting over here. No, rather he is giving us an example to follow. That you want to know how you can be good to your family? Look at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He, you know, the way that he treated his daughter, the way that he treated his grandchildren, the way that he treated his wives, and he, especially Ahl is, you know, people that you're living with, the way that he treated his wives, that is the example that we need to follow. So, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ And this is a very important principle. You can be the best co-worker, all right? You can be the best student. You can be the best teacher. You can be the best boss. You can be the best employer, employee, whatever role you play outside the house. You can be the best in that. All right, people, you may have great friends, many friends who love you. But the thing is that people who deserve the best treatment from you are actually who? The people that you live with. That is the true test. You know, for example, if you're outside, you're courteous. All right, you're outside, you will make sure you throw the garbage in, you know, where the garbage belongs. But at home, what happens to many people? They will leave garbage on the dinner table. They will not pick up their dirty tissue, expecting who to pick it up? Somebody else, maybe the wife, maybe the mother, right? Some people will not put their dishes away. You know, outside the house, people are so particular around their friends. They're so helpful. But what happens at home? Henny, you can be very good to everyone outside, but that doesn't show who you really are. The best person is the one who is best to their family. And how is it that we can be best to our families, people that we're living with? Of course, this is in terms of showing, good character, dealing with them in a nice way. But the one of the most important things is that you wish the best for them. And so you want to save them from what will bring them trouble in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا O you who have believed, save yourselves and your families from the fire. Yani, it's not enough, for example, for a parent to send their children to school, buy groceries, buy their Eid gifts, etc., buy them a bike, make sure they know how to ride a bike. Okay, that's great. But what are you doing to save them from the fire? Are you teaching them how to pray? Are you reminding them at the time of salah that it's time for salah? Are you making sure that they're learning how to recite the Quran? Are you making sure that they know that today is the day of Arafah and it's a very special day? Yani, these are things that are included in being good to your family. You cannot just be selfishly thinking about yourself, my ibadah, right? My Quran, my salah, my classes, my this, my that. And, you know, whatever happens to children happens, you know, who cares? No, you have to care. You have to show that good treatment to your family. Part of good treatment of one's family is that you are kind to them, right? That you show compassion and mercy to them. You show them dignity and love and respect. How the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have, his daughter sit with him, right? Imagine when she would come, Fatima radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would welcome her. You know, he acknowledged her entry, the fact that she had come in. He acknowledged her presence. He honored her presence. He would make her sit next to himself. And then he would talk to her. And how often it happens that boys, when they come, yes, everyone gives attention to them. But the girls, when they come, nobody even notices them. In fact, the moment that they step in, oh, please do this, do that, do this, do that. Give them a list of things to do. Don't let them sit at all. You know, if a girl is found sitting, then, she's wasting her time. Get her busy in doing chores. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make his daughter sit next to him, on his right, on his left. We learn in hadith, because so often it happens that young women especially who are married with, you know, with children, when they go to their parents' house is when they find relief. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he honored his daughter, right? And when a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I have 10 children, I've never kissed them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and he said, the one who does not show mercy is not shown mercy. So part of showing mercy is that you kiss your children. And also another very important thing is that you are just with your children. Just with your children. You treat them all equally. Even your grandchildren, you should treat them all equally. And you see, sometimes your children or people that you're living with, and this includes sometimes your in-laws, you know, your daughter-in-law, sometimes your son-in-law, it's possible that they do something that you disagree with, right? You disagree with them. You know, so often it happens that the mother-in-law does not necessarily agree with how the daughter-in-law is taking care of her children. So the mother-in-law will continue to say, you know, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And the daughter-in-law, you know, she does what she knows or what she believes is best. And unfortunately, you know, so often it happens that as the children grow older, the grandparents will, blame the parents for not raising their children well. Right. So the mother-in-law will, or the father-in-law will continue to blame the daughter-in-law. Your son is like this because you did this and that, because you would not listen to us. And without ignoring the fact that perhaps she was, you know, making those mistakes because she was raising her children in so much stress, the stress that you were causing, the toxicity that you were creating. And now you have the audacity to blame her. And now, so, you know, this is so unfortunate that the grandchildren now, as they're getting older, the grandparents will take their side and they will tell them, your mother was very harsh to you, your father ignored you, they did this to you, they did that to you. They will make the children dislike the parents. Hani, this is wrong, very, very wrong, that you make children dislike their parents. You're telling children the mistakes that their parents made. Why? Are you a perfect human being? You're not. Earlier we discussed about how parents deserve good treatment, no matter who they are, even if they're not Muslim. So your job as a grandparent is to teach your grandchildren to respect their mother, to respect their father, even if you disagree with your daughter-in-law, with your son-in-law. You have your own issues with them. And you have a right to disagree with them, and that is fine. But you do not have the right to fill those innocent children's hearts with hatred and disrespect for their mothers or for their fathers. That is not correct. That is injustice upon injustice. So, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ أَهْلِ, people you're living with, even your in-laws, right? And then another thing is that you should not pray against the people that you live with. If you have a problem with them, try to, you know, solve that problem. But if you, have a big issue even, don't start making dua against them over every little thing. Some people, what they do is, on every little thing that they're upset over, they will say, may you die, may you be cursed. In every language, there's different expressions that people will use. This is very wrong. Pray for them. Don't pray against them. And of the du'as that we can make for our ahl is, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Ameen. The next hadith is about being good to women, especially a man being good to his wife. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ خُلُقًا. The best of you is he who is best to his خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ خُلُقًا. The best of you are those who are best to their wives. How? خُلُقًا, in character. You see, a lot of times we hear this hadith, but we don't hear the entire hadith. We just hear the words, خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. That's it. And we don't typically hear the word khuluqa. Being good to your wife doesn't just mean that, you buy her big gifts, or that you have given her a car, you have given her her freedom, etc. No, being good to your wife means that you are good to her in your character, that you talk to her respectfully. You live with her in a nice way. You do not yell at her. You do not treat her as if she was a stranger. You do not treat her as if she was, worthy of no respect whatsoever. And it's your khuluq that matters. And, you know, there are people who may not be able to, provide a lavish life for their wife, but because they treat their wife with respect and love, they have such a beautiful relationship. And then there are other people who will provide a lavish life to their wife, right? She's traveling here, there. She's got a house in one country, an apartment in another. She's got multiple cars, servants. She's got gold on her arms, gold on her fingers, the latest phone, everything. But the husband does not talk to her with respect, doesn't treat her with dignity. Such a woman, there's no happiness in her life because things cannot bring you happiness. So, خيارukum لنسائهم خلقا. Again, there are people who are very good to their co-workers, in terms of their character, very good to their friends also in terms of their character. But when it comes to the wife, she is treated as if she was a shoe. She was treated as if she had no dignity, worthy of nothing. This is very wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Live with them in kindness. In a good way. In a proper way. And if a person neglects his wife, right, especially financially, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is sufficient for a person to be sinful that he neglects the one that he is responsible for. In another hadith, أَنْ يَحْبِسَ عَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ قُوتَهُ, that he is stingy with the one that he is responsible to spend on. Yani, there are people who will lavishly, very generously spend on their friends, on parties, right? But when it comes to the wife, they're very tight-fisted, very tight-fisted. They will count, pennies. They will ask her, what did you do with this money? And why did you buy the more expensive milk? And why did you buy the more expensive bread? And things like that. So, kind treatment of the wife, good treatment of the wife is very, very important. Another thing is that, it's possible that you do not like something in your spouse. You will not find a person that you 100% wholeheartedly love and everything about them you appreciate. There are things about, your closest friends even that you dislike, your loved ones even that you dislike, your own children, right? You love your children, but there's things about your children that you get really annoyed by, right? Little children even. So what is the key then? The key is that you don't focus on what bothers you. Rather, you focus on what pleases you, what is good about them, because no creature is perfect, right? No creature is perfect. We are all, we all have our own flaws. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also forbade men from hitting their wives. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of you will never hit their wives." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's own example, Aisha radiallahu anha, said that he never hit a servant nor a woman ever, ever. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would help his family at home. And who did he have at home? It was his wives. Like Aisha radiallahu anha, she did not have any children. And when she was asked about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did at home, she said that he was in the service of his family. And in a hadith, we learned that whatever you do for your wife is sadaqah for you. So again, when you go home, you're not a guest, right? When you go home, you are a member of the family. That house, that home is also yours. So it's not that, house chores are reserved exclusively for the wife. You also must participate in, loading the dishwasher, in washing the dishes, in putting the groceries away, cleaning the floor, folding the laundry, switching the laundry load, etc. These are not things that are reserved for your wife. These are things that you should also be doing. In fact, if your wife is doing them, she's doing a favor to you. This is not a requirement. This is not mandatory on a woman that she should work in the house. In fact, in the classical texts of fiqh, we learn about how there are discussions about a man preparing food for his wife, all right? And if he's not able to do that, he should hire someone to prepare food for his wife, and that he should provide clothing to her, etc. The husband is supposed to take care of the wife. And now, in imitation of different cultures, we have completely forgotten this. Completely forgotten this. If a wife is looking after the things at home, she is doing a favor to the husband. She's not required to. Islamically, this is not an obligation on her. It's the man who has to provide food for her. And providing food doesn't just mean bringing money. Okay? Providing food means preparing the food as well. So if a woman is doing this, this is a favor on her part. And recognize that favor. Appreciate that favor. Don't demand more and more from her so that, her health is deteriorating. And, she is literally losing herself. That on the one hand is her children, on the other hand, the demands of the husband. And she's not able to take a moment's break. This is unfair. خياركم خياركم لنسائهم خلقا. The next hadith is about being good to one's friends. This is also very important. Sometimes we take our friends for granted. We take, our friendship for granted. And I think this past year and a half has shown us how special good friends are. Because when we are alone and, we're not able to meet one another, we're socially isolated, we realize the value of good friends. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best of companions near Allah are those who are good to their companions. And many people are, good friends to each other, right? Or they have really good friendship. They work together, they travel together, they talk, they study together, etc. But who is really a good friend in the sight of Allah? It is the friend who is actually good to their friends. خَيْرُ الْأَصْحَابِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرُهُمْ لِصَاحِبِهِ. So we need to see, how beneficial am I to my friends? How good am I to my friends? What kind of language do I speak to them? What kind of words do I use to address them? And how do I show care and love to them? Friends are not just people who are filling a void in your life, or who are, there when you need someone to complain to, or who are there when you, just need to take a break and you need some entertainment. So you ask them, hey, are you free? Let's hang out, right? And then when they need you, you are nowhere to be found. So this type of friendship is not a good one in the sight of Allah. A good friendship in the sight of Allah is that in which you are beneficial. You are good to your friends. وَخَيْرُ الْجِيرَانِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرُهُمْ لِجَارِهِ. And the best of neighbors near Allah are those who are good to their neighbors. So remember that your friends also have a right on you. People who are with you. And by friends, I don't just mean people who you get along with. Ashab are people who are with you, right? Sahib is someone who is with you. It could be they're with you because you're studying together, you're working together. You happen to be traveling together. You happen to live next to each other. In different ways, you could be companions, right? So the companions also deserve good treatment from you. That you help them, you assist them, you talk to them with respect. You don't cause any harm or annoyance to them. You keep in touch if they're unwell. You find out how they're doing. You help them. You like for them what you like for yourself, and also that you show pardon and forgiveness to each other. This is very, very important because, again, people that you are working closely with, they are going to hurt you, right? Inadvertently, unintentionally, they're going to do things that are going to bother you. So learn to overlook. Don't point out every mistake of your companion. And yes, you want to be that mirror to them, right? That you help them become a better person. But if you, in the middle of a conversation, every single time that you meet them, every single time that you're working with them, you point out, oh, this is wrong, 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 this is wrong. That person is not going to be one to be with you anymore. Be easygoing. Be gentle. Learn, identify which battles to pick and which things to overlook. So learn to overlook as well. Then the next is about the best character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best of people is the one who is best in character. خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. In another hadith, we learn a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Messenger of Allah, which of the believers is best? He said, he who has the best manners among them. أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. So good character, in general, dealing with people, with good character in general, this is what makes a person the best among them. So what makes a person best among the rest is not the bag that they're carrying, or how tall they are, or what perfume they're wearing, or how many followers they have on social media. What makes a person good and best is their character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautify us all with good character. In another hadith, we learn in the next one that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that what is the best thing that people are given, he said good character. And good character is the best blessing. Now, akhlaq is the plural of khuluq, right? And khuluq is, your disposition, your behavior, your nature, your manners. The way that you deal with other people, the way that you express yourself. And this is the inner person, you see. The outer person is your physical form, right? It's the khalq. And that is something you don't choose. But when it comes to your khuluq, your inner person, your character, your disposition, your behavior, yes, there are parts of it which are by nature, right? So you may be naturally inclined to being, short-tempered. But then there's a major part of it, which is by choice, right? So, some people say that, what can I do? I'm just short-tempered, right? What can I do? I'm just very impatient. What can I do? I just get angry very quickly, right? No, you cannot make that as an excuse. When it comes to your physical form, if you're sweating a lot, you don't say, what can I do? I just sweat a lot. No, I'm sorry. You have to go shower. You have to make sure that you clean your body every day. You wear fresh clothing every day. You cannot make the excuse, right, that you just sweat a lot. If you have long nails, you cannot say, what can I do? I have long nails so that they just get dirty. You can't make that excuse. You have to maintain your physical body, and you also have to maintain your inner self, right? That is your khuluq. And that means that you try your best to not harm people, to not hurt people. You do your best to be generous with them, and that you are pleasant, in dealing with them. You show pardon and forgiveness, and you are patient over, what bothers you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the most complete of the believers in terms of faith are those who have the best character. Good character is heavy in the scales. And when a person is good in their character, and they reach the level of the person who fasts a lot, the person who prays a lot of, night prayer, tahajjud salah, this is a good deed that is a means of gaining beautiful homes in paradise as well. So we cannot make the excuse that I'm just like that. No, we have to strive to be better. And we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, Allahumma ahsanta khalqi fa ahsin khuluqi. Oh Allah, you have given me a beautiful physical form. Give me beautiful character as well. Allahumma ihdini li ahsan al akhlaq. La yahdi li ahsaniha illa anta. Wasrif anni sayyi'aha. La yasrifu anni sayyi'aha illa anta. Oh Allah, guide me to the best character. No one can guide me to the best character except for you, and turn away bad character from me, because no one can turn that away from me except for you. The next hadith is about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you are those who have long lives and excellent character. This is so beautiful. Long life and excellent character. If this combination is there, then a person will accumulate many, many good deeds, because through good character, you are able to win the hearts of people. Good character means that you are generous. Good character means that you are forgiving. So the longer a person is showing good character, the better it is for them. This is good fortune. The next topic is about being humble. All right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best of you are those who have excellent character and have humble sides. Okay. Al-muwatti'una aknafa. Aknafa are two sides of a person. So your right side, your left side. So the best of you are those of the best character and who are also gentle, easygoing, humble, you know, in the way that they deal with people. Some people have very stiff shoulders. You cannot bend them. You cannot. They're very, very difficult to deal with. They will not budge. They're stubborn as ever. They will not move. They will not cooperate. And while it's good to have determination, stubbornness is unhealthy. You have to learn how to cooperate with others, how to be gentle with others, and how to live and let live. You know, there are places where you have to make compromise, right? Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what was the Treaty of Hudaybiyah? There was a treaty, but there was also a whole lot of compromise. You know, so often the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would allow the companions to do different things given the situation that they were in. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the believer is like the tethered camel. Wherever it is led, it yields. Meaning the believer is not stubborn, right? And if someone is stubborn with you, you cannot change their mind. They've got an ego problem. They just say it's my way or the highway. It's very difficult to deal with them. So the best of you are who? Those who are humble. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that wisdom as well. The next hadith is about how the best people are those who, when seen, Allah is remembered. This is also very beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna khiyara ibadallahi." The best slaves of Allah from this ummah are those who, when they're seen, Allah is remembered. Yani their presence reminds others of Allah. Why? Because they don't talk to people? They just contemplate the entire time? No. Because their behavior, their akhlaq is good. In their speech is the dhikr of Allah. Everything that they're doing, they do it consciously, right? Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them. So their presence does not distract them from Allah azza wa jal. Their presence, their demeanor, their actions, their language, it reminds people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see, the companions were like that, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the companions in the Quran, that سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ, that, the signs of sujood are visible on their faces. And you can tell that this person has been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person has been reciting the Quran. So may we be of those people who remember Allah and also remind others of Allah, not those who are heedless of Allah and distract others from Allah. Wal-iyadu billah. The next hadith is about being of benefit to others. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Khayrun nasi anfa'uhum linnas." The best people are those who are of most benefit to people. And wherever they are, wherever they go, whoever they are, when they're with people, they bring benefit to them. And this can be in a number of ways. This can be in the way of financially benefiting people, but it's not just limited to that. You can benefit people by teaching them something good, right? By giving them a good suggestion, by listening to them, you know, by giving good advice, just your presence, even your smile, even can be a source of benefit for others. So wherever you go, don't just think about what you can take from there. Also think about what you can give over there, how you can benefit people over there. Because Isa alayhi salam, he said, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. Allah has made me blessed wherever I am. So wherever he went, he brought benefit to people. So we should also strive to be like that. And In a hadith, we learn about, you know, how there are so many gateways of goodness, so many doors of goodness. And there isn't just one way of benefiting people, right? Of doing something good. Because in a hadith, we learned the Prophet ﷺ said that every day that the sun rises, the son of Adam must give sadaqah. So the companion said, O Messenger of Allah, how can we give sadaqah every day? And we don't have that much money that we give sadaqah every single day. So the Prophet ﷺ said that there are many doors of goodness. To say subhanallah is sadaqah, to say alhamdulillah is sadaqah. And you see, when you make dhikr, yes, you're making dhikr, you know, you're remembering Allah, but when someone hears you making dhikr, they also benefit from it. They remember to remember Allah as well, right? Commanding what is right is also sadaqah. Forbidding what is wrong is also sadaqah, right? And this could be in the form of correcting someone when you see them making a mistake, when you see them struggling, when you see them not knowing what to do. Removing something that is painful for people, you know, removing that from the road is also sadaqah. Communicating with a person who is unable to hear is also sadaqah. Guiding the blind person is also sadaqah. Assisting a person who is lost, right? You assist them find their way, that is also sadaqah. Using the strength of your legs to help those you know, who are weak is also sadaqah, right? So there's so many different ways of giving sadaqah. So many different ways of bringing benefit to people. Let us be eager to bring benefit to others. This life is short, and the opportunities are many, but we will only be able to see those opportunities if we learn to look beyond ourselves. The next hadith is about the best deed. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best deed is that you bring a smile to your brother, or remove a debt from him, or feed him some bread. And he helping your brother, and your brother doesn't just mean your biological brother, but your brother in faith, right? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Akhikal mu'min." So any Muslim you find out about that, you know, they're sad, you bring a smile to their face by sending them a sweet message, right? By smiling at them, by sharing a lighthearted joke with them, right? You find out that they're financially struggling, you help them, you even offer some bread, right? That is also an excellent deed. So there's so many ways of being of benefit to others. There isn't just one way. And any person that you come across and you see that, you know, you take interest in them, you will find a way to be of benefit to them. It doesn't mean that people are in need of your charity. No, people are in need of your kindness. Okay, people need, people deserve kindness, right? And if you have the opportunity to be kind to them, go ahead and don't think twice. The next hadith is about feeding people and greeting them. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best of you are those who give food and return the greeting. Who give food. And remember, this is not just to people or to Muslims or to your family, but this includes giving food to people and animals, right? Giving people to Muslims and non-Muslims, giving food to people who are your family and strangers and friends, people you know, people you don't know, offering food. Right, this friend of mine, you know, she has this habit that, especially at, you know, late in the night, if she happens to be at a store, and you know, she's buying something, she will also buy a chocolate bar, or anything that is, you know, gum or something, a drink, and she will buy it, and then she will give it to the cashier as she's leaving. You see, these are people who are doing their job, right? And yes, they are being paid. But they also deserve that, you know, someone treats them kindly. Someone treats them in a way that they feel special. They also feel loved and taken care of. Because, yes, doing the job of a cashier, it's a job, but it's also hard. It's also difficult. You're standing for so long, you know, scanning item after item, bagging item after item. This is mentally tiring, physically tiring. And if you're just, you know, doing manual labor, your mind is wandering, right? And if you have any worries and any troubles, you know, something that's causing you anxiety, this kind of work is not necessarily helpful in that way. So, you know, show kindness to people in whatever way that you can. So the best of you are those who give food. And giving food doesn't just mean that you hold a lavish party or that you sponsor an iftar only in the month of Ramadan or that you send, you know, money to a poor country where people in need can be given food. All of that is part of giving food. Of course it is. But giving food also means giving food to your neighbors, giving food to your children, giving food to your parents, giving food to your friends, in any way, big or small, that we can. Returning the greeting. Yani when someone says salam to you, you honor them and you say wa alaykum as-salam. You don't ignore them. The next is that the best person is the one who, who's good, from whom good is expected. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to some Sahaba that, shall I not inform you of the best of you from your worst? And do you want to know who the best among you are and who the worst among you are? And the people expressed, a person expressed his wish that, yes, O Messenger of Allah, do inform us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you is the one whose goodness is hoped for. As soon as this person walks in, people are like, yes, alhamdulillah, they're here. Yes, alhamdulillah, I can benefit from them. Alhamdulillah, the answer to my du'as is here. Right? The people know that they will only find good with this person. And people are safe from his evil. The moment this person walks in, people feel secure. People feel at ease. People feel relief. And the worst of you is he whose goodness is not hoped for and people are not safe from his evil. Astaghfirullah. Yani the moment this person walks in, people become afraid. They become, there's a negative vibe. There's a negative energy. They get worked up. There's stress. So we need to see what kind of people are we. When we are present somewhere, are we of benefit to others? Or are people walking on eggshells around us? The next hadith is about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that, O Messenger of Allah, who among the people is the best? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every person with a soft heart and a truthful tongue. So the people said that, we know what a truthful tongue is. A person who has a truthful tongue, we understand that. It means they never lie. But what does it mean to have a soft heart? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, the soft heart is of the person who is God-fearing, or the soft heart is the heart which is God-fearing. Yani at-taqi, the one that has taqwa in it. And an-naqi, the one that is clean. And he doesn't have any grudges against people. All right. And it is la isma fihi, free of sin. Yani no intention to, commit sin. And free of oppression. And no intention to harm others. Right. And no hatred or jealousy. This is what it means to have a soft heart. So a soft-hearted person is not just someone who has, who says that they have empathy, or that they care about others, or that they cried for the fifth time when they saw, a kitten that was injured. Okay, a soft heart is of the person who is God-fearing. Who is conscious of Allah, someone who wants good for others, someone who does not carry hatred and jealousy for people. This is what it means to have a good heart. And we all want to have that kind of a heart. So it's important that we clean our heart. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to beautify our heart. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our heart sound. And this hadith shows us the importance of, having a truthful tongue, but also, making sure that our heart is in a good condition. Because if the heart is not in a good condition, the tongue also cannot be sound. So we ask Allah, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. That, O our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers who have preceded us in faith, and do not make in our hearts any hatred, any ill feeling for those people who believe. O our Lord, indeed you are compassionate, you are merciful. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri samri, wa min sharri basari, wa min sharri lisani, wa min sharri qalbi, wa min sharri manihi. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the evil of my hearing, the evil of my eyes, the evil of my tongue, the evil of my heart. We ask Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka thabata fil amr, wal azimata ala rushd, wa as'aluka mujibati rahmatik, wa azaima maghfiratik, wa as'aluka shukra ni'matik, wa husna ibadatik, wa as'aluka qalban saliman. I ask you, Ya Rabb, for a sound heart, wa lisanan sadiqan, and I ask you for a tongue that is truthful. Wa as'aluka min khayri ma ta'lam, I ask you for the good that you know. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا تَعْلَمُ, and I seek refuge with you from the evil that you know. وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا تَعْلَمُ, and I seek your forgiveness from what only you know, meaning those sins of mine which only you know of. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ, indeed you alone, O Allah, are the knower of that which is hidden, that which is unseen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness on this blessed day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be of the best believers, to be good to our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for any shortcoming on our part, any wrong on our part in the treatment of our parents, our family, and also other believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adorn us with beautiful akhlaq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be patient, to be tolerant, to be good to those who are closest to us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all our shortcomings. Ameen. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. There is one more session actually, because this was supposed to be 10 sessions. And, because the dates were decided before, the way that Dhul-Hijjah, alhamdulillah, began, we were a day behind. So anyway, inshallah, after Eid, there is going to be one more session that I'm going to do just to complete the Ashara, the 10 topics that were prepared for the series. And that is also in regard to the best akhlaq. But inshallah, that session will be after Eid. And inshallah, I will share information about that. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.